Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by Go Boys. Coming up on the show, Mitch Moss of Follow the Money will join us. We will talk a little Sweet 16 and a bunch of baseball as baseball season is about to start. And we'll do a little baseball off the top. Haven't done much baseball in a couple weeks. Been a lot of NCAA tournament, and I'll get to the Thursday games here in a minute. We'll do the Friday games on the Friday pod. I'll have Stucky on to break down the Friday games. So look forward to that. And but look, baseball, they don't do themselves any favors with the way they schedule this stuff. I mean, I talked about the NCAA tournament and their schedule and their scheduling miscues and putting the games on midnight, watching Yale, San Diego State, 1 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast is not the idea. I don't know why they do it. Baseball, same sort of thing. I mean, baseball opening day used to be its own sort of thing where, I mean, you look forward to it, you count down the days, and it's its own thing. I mean, sometimes it was on the Monday of the championship game, which is fine because that game on championship Monday, the title game isn't till like 9:30 on the East Coast, 9:30 at night. And you had all day. Most of the games were during the day, and baseball could have that day. That day could breathe a little bit for baseball. Now you're okay, sort of same thing on Thursday, but you're going against the Sweet 16 games where, you got the day games to enjoy it, but some of the night games to compete against the Sweet 16, I wonder if they could have worked something out. But regardless, it's here. Once it's here, it's great. I mean, the great thing about baseball is once it comes, it's every day. It's not like football where you have to wait a week for a game or, NBA where, their regular season is completely shot. But baseball is here. It's tricky to bet on early in the season because there's just so many moving parts. It's, these pitchers pitch less and less. Forget early in the season, middle of the season, end of the season, playoffs. These guys sometimes, go once through the lineup. It's such a reliever-heavy game that it makes it tough. And, it definitely makes it tough, too. The spring training is in Arizona. It's in Florida. It's 70, 80 degrees. Now you put these guys in the Midwest and the East. These games, it's 30, 40 degrees in some of these spots. So it does affect the command for these pitchers. The pitchers don't go that long. So it makes it tough to handicap, but some fun series. We got Phillies, Braves. Braves throwing Strider against Wheeler, playoff rematch the last 2 years. That's a fun one. Braves laying minus 125. I think anytime you can get the Braves that cheap of a money line, you probably do it. Obviously, Wheeler's really good. So that's a fun one. Braves might be worth a look there. Orioles are a little cheap. They look at minus 180 against the Angels, or it should be awful again, especially now with no Trout. Yankees Astros is a fun series. Yankees throwing Cortez to start the season, which is not the idea here to put Nestor Cortez out there opening day. They don't have enough pitching. They didn't do enough to address the pitching with the Cole injury. I don't think with Cole, who was the best pitcher in the sport last year, I don't think with Cole they had enough pitching. Without him, they're in major trouble. Astros always give them fits. So Yankees in Houston's a fun one. So it's just nice to be able to look at the baseball card and see the lines, see the matchups. It's a lot of fun. A couple teams that I think Red Sox, Mariners, Diamondbacks against the Rockies, who should be awful. Rockies are one of the teams under 59.5. That's one of my favorite over-under win totals. And Cleveland, I think, should be better than people think. They're plus 350 to win the division, plus 250 to make the playoff. This should be a playoff team. I'm pulling up the exact numbers. I had them written down. I don't want to give out a stale line. I hate when people do that. Hey, I got this at 8-1. It's 3-1 now, but I got it 8-1. Nobody cares. Plus 350 to win the division. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good one, I would say. For a Cleveland team with a lot of pitching, Minnesota's good. They're not great. So Cleveland would be one, and they're 79.5 for a win total. That's a boy. That's a pretty enticing number. So Cleveland's one I like. The plus 185 to make the playoffs again. Shop around, make sure you get the best price. Looking at awards, and I like betting these awards, but there is not a lot that's appetizing. I think with betting being more popular, it's just they really shrink these numbers. I mean, guys like Tarik Skubal and Cole Reagan's 9-1 to win the Cy Young Award. I mean, they just Judge is 5-1, Acuna's 5-1. Look, if you catch a 5-1 ticket, that's great. I feel like this has gotten this way with the NFL MVP, where hey, Lamar wins it at what 12-1, 15-1 before the season. That's a good number, but there's so many guys that can win it. Anything with single digit odds, unless they're really, it's a special case. It's hard to find value in that, but. The good thing is baseball season doesn't go away. Like these numbers will be there. You find value during the summer, during the spring. These you can find better numbers or decent numbers along the way, perhaps. So again, I would say the same thing about the World Series, right? Look at the World Series and any team that you think is a sleeper and pretty much anyone that gets in the playoffs now with this format, which I really don't like. I think they put too many teams in the playoffs. I think it's a little NBA-ish where they devalue the regular season. Unlike the NBA though, baseball, anyone can win. So, if you put the 8th or 9th seed in the playoffs, the Atlanta Hawks make the playoffs. The Atlanta Hawks are not winning the NBA title because talent wins out in basketball. In baseball, it's just the nature of the game. If you put these 500-ish teams in, they have not as good a chance as anybody, but they could certainly get to a World Series, win a World Series. They've really devalued a 162-game season. I think they put too many teams in the playoffs. I thought it was perfect when they had the three division winners and then the two wild cards would play a one-game playoff and the winner goes to the playoffs, the loser's out. I thought that was perfect. Add a little drama to start the game seven. I think this new format, these teams that are in, that win their divisions, that have the bye, they sit for too long. I think, look, the two out of three are fun, but you put too many teams in the playoffs. That one extra team does make a difference. Now you put 12 teams in the playoffs and some of these division winners, one division winner doesn't get a bye to the playoffs and they're in the mix with the wild cards, which I don't like. So too many teams in the playoffs, in my opinion, but just looking at these numbers again, Dodgers plus 350, Braves plus 450, Astros 7-1, Orioles 11-1, Yankees 11-1. It's okay. Mariners 19. Well, I shouldn't even say it's okay. If you're the Yankees, you're not even a lock to win your division. You're going to have a hard time winning your division. And if you like them to win the division, just take them to win the division, then go round by round. And if you don't win the division, now you got four rounds of playoffs to go through and you're only getting 11-1. Again, Reds are a nice little sleeper team, but they're only 45-1. Like, the Mets are not winning the World Series this year. Maybe they could sneak in the playoffs, and I guess who knows, and you can give me that whole thing. We got a good offense, a good bullpen. 55-1 on the Mets. I mean, you should probably get in a little better. You get the idea. These numbers are just not long enough to fire on anything. Again, their numbers aren't going anywhere either. So unless something dramatic happens, you can find most of these numbers along the way and do just fine and not tie up your money for, I mean, let's face it, if you're betting baseball, if you're betting awards, MVP, Cy Young, one of these awards don't cash until the middle of November if it hits. So, I mean, it's March now. You're tying up money for a long time. And even the season-long stuff, over-under wins, that kind of thing, it's first week of October. So, I mean, it's still a long, long time to tie up your money. So that's the baseball. Excited for it to start. I don't find it that easy. It's difficult to bet early on just because of the weather. The pitchers aren't built up. The pitchers don't go that deep. But we'll be into these series. Yankees, Astros is fun. Phillies, Braves is fun. And it's just nice to have it back because there's just so many games. They're on every day. It is a lot of fun. Marlins really missing a lot of their pitching. I didn't realize how banged up till I was starting to go over some of the stuff. Marlins have a lot of pitchers. Uri Perez, Cabrera, Braxton Garrett, a lot of their pitchers are really, really banged up. So that's the baseball. We'll get to some of that with Mitch Moss in a minute. Just quickly on the basketball, these games are great. Now, we didn't get the upsets. The games were kind of boring on the weekend. But the good thing about not getting upsets, you get set up here with eight really, really good Sweet 16 games. And you're going to get a bunch of good Elite Eight games too, because there's just, other than NC State, who's a nice little Cinderella story, it's not – you're not getting any intruders here where these teams that just don't belong. It's all blue bloods. It's all the elite of the elite. It's the cream of the crop playing here this weekend. So just go through some of these games, Arizona, Clemson. I would lean towards taking the points here. Again, as great as these games are from a viewing standpoint, I don't know that there's anything that stands out to me as super bettable. I would say Clemson take the points just because I do think they have enough ability to limit Arizona at the rim, make them shooters, and just hope Arizona misses, which is really all you can do against Arizona. You can't take away everything. They're so good at the rim. They're so good in transition. If you can just play zone, make them shoot, who knows? Maybe Clemson can hang in the game. I would still think Arizona would win. And if Arizona can get to a Final Four, that Final Four is in Arizona, so keep that in mind. UConn, San Diego State, rematch of the title game from last year. UConn laying 11 or so. It is hard. I know it looks like a lot of points. It always looks like it's a couple points too high when it's UConn. It is very hard to go against that UConn team. They're so good. I just don't know if San Diego State can hang. I think we'll see a game similar to last year. And, it is a travel disadvantage, a schedule disadvantage with San Diego State too, where, remember, they were the late game Sunday night against Yale. That game ended after midnight, and that's on the West Coast. Now they're going West Coast to East Coast. This is an early Thursday tip, 7 o'clock East Coast. So, again, and UConn, aside from the schedule advantage, the fact that this game is in Boston, you get the advantage there. UConn's just a machine of a team. They are a much better team. You figure, hey, at some point, maybe they're due for a bad game, but they are just such a good team. I would expect UConn to win that game and cover. The winner of that, if they do win, the winner of Iowa State, Illinois will be their next opponent. That will not be an easy game, and that's a hell of a game. That might be the best game of the weekend. I don't know where to go with that game. Again, that's a game – it's more fun to watch than it is to bet. I don't know where you're going with that. I guess I would go with Illinois just because they probably have the best player on the court in Shannon, but that's a completely evenly matched game in my opinion. So those are the games. Then Bama, Carolina. Can Bama get enough stops? I mean, they're never going to get a lot of stops. That was an interesting game against Grand Canyon, where it was actually turned into a rock fight. Grand Canyon missed a ton of threes, missed a ton of free throws. Can Bama hit enough threes to overcome their defense? I think they could. I wouldn't be shocked if they won that game. So I would lean towards taking Bama with the four. Again, nothing. I'm like, oh my God, I love this bet. I have to bet it. The lines look about right. These teams are all really good. The games are all really good. Nothing really where I'm just – plus, the underdogs did so poorly last week. I'm kind of in my own head where I don't want to take the underdogs because they've been doing so poorly taking the underdogs. And I don't want to jump on the favorites because I feel like the favorites are due to kind of not cover, not win anymore. We're due for some underdogs to come through. So I'm kind of in my own head from that perspective. But looking forward to the games. It's a lot of fun. Should be a great Sweet 16 and baseball starting. And good time of the year. Draft before you know it. NBA playoffs before you know it. Only like 9 or 10 games left for some of these NBA teams. So playoffs are always fun. The regular season has just been, in my opinion, I just lost a lot of interest in the regular season. It's just not, I don't know, the load management over the years, when the players don't care about the season, it's hard for the fans to care about the season. So it's a devalued product in the regular season. It just is. The regular season used to be great. It's not anymore. But once you get to the playoffs, it's a lot of fun. Should be a good postseason. It's obviously it's Denver and Boston or the chalk, but there's a lot of good teams. There's a lot of depth. There's a lot of balance in the league. So I'm looking forward to the playoffs, which is not that far away. So fun time of the year, baseball, NCAA tournament. We'll talk all that and more with Mitch Moss. That is next. This is the Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. Excited to catch up with our next guest. You can hear him on Follow the Money every morning, 7 to 10 Eastern on VSiN. It is Mitch Moss. Mitch, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming on.
Will, good to talk to you again, man. How are you?
Always well. Fun time of the year. It's, the March Madness is so all-consuming. Once it ends, you look up and, boy, it's baseball season. It's NBA playoffs are almost here, Masters. So it's a fun time of the year. The depression of February post Super Bowl is definitely gone, and it's a lot going on.
It's the way that the sports calendar works now, you really don't have any downtime whatsoever, because it used to be where the Super Bowl would end in either late January or very early February, and then you could all kind of like take a collective breath around the NBA All-Star break and then gear up for March Madness. And it just doesn't work that way anymore. Now that the football season's pushed back, as soon as the season ends, it's like the same time it's the NBA trade deadline, and then it's March, and then forget about it because that whole month is just bonkers. But then you have an early opening day Major League Baseball. You have the Masters, and as you said, the NHL and the NBA starting. It's like, okay, maybe in June now we can take a break. There's so much going on. They really figured it out with the sports calendar.
Yeah, they sure did. I felt like last year it was a little more not rushed, because I love when the tournament gets here. But this year I felt like I was itching for the tournaments to start, because everything started a week later. We didn't have the selection until St. Patrick's Day, where right around March 1st, I was starting to get a little itchy. I was like, all right, some of these tournaments should be starting. So I did feel it like that little period dragged for a week. But you make a good point. It used to be a good like 6-7 weeks between the end of the Super Bowl and the start of March Madness. It's really the end of the conference title games in football, because after that, it's 2 weeks till the Super Bowl. It's only one game, where that's really where the lull sets in. But baseball is about to start Thursday, opening day. What do you like in terms of futures, awards? Take it any direction you want to go.
So I'm kind of buying into the Orioles again this year. I mean, they caught my attention, not last year, but 2 years ago, when they were a great story, and I thought, man, they're really onto something here. So they had to put up with, the 3 to 4 years of just being like the Oakland A's now, right? Or the Astros before them. And people forget about that, what the Astros turned into, for being patient. Now we're kind of seeing that with Baltimore. I think they're going to be really good again this year. I bet them various ways. There are so many, by the way, Will, there are so many markets that you can bet with Major League Baseball that you could spend all day long looking at just a couple of different apps and be like, okay, now how do I wrap my head around this one? How do I come up with a bet on this? So we look at their schedule to begin the season. It's not difficult at all. They get a lot of weak teams from last year who don't have a lot of expectations to begin the season as well. I bet them at Circa, I bet them most wins in March and April. It's not the sexiest number. It's 6-1. I had the Rays last year at 14-1. And they started 13-0 and won that market or won that bet. But 6-1 overall, if you look at the schedule over the first month, it's very manageable. I think their offense is just completely loaded to the gills. pitching's going to be fine. Don't love it, but, you know, obviously improved with Corbin Burns, and long term, I think they'll make another move this year. So I love the Orioles. I love them for most, well, like them for most wins. I have them to be the last team to lose a game this year. I also have them to start 5-0, and I think the longest winning streak in baseball for the entire season. So I'm high on that team. I'll tell you, the awards market, I am kind of going to let it play out a little bit this year. Now, I have a couple of bets. I love the way Freddie Peralta closed the season last year for the Brewers. He's now going to be the ace, which could be good or bad for the Brewers now that Burns is no longer there. His numbers were absurd for the last 2 months of the year. I think maybe the best overall in the National League, in fact. But I found a rogue 100-1 on him. I know that's the number's no longer available. I get it. So, but this is what happens when, if you're paying attention and, you know, you get down on this stuff back in February, you can find maybe some numbers that you thought might be a little bit longer than they should have been. That was one of them. I think that here's the thing, like the American League Cy Young, I think is completely wide open, right? Because there's no more Dylan Cease. Garrett Cole is banged up and going to be out to start the season for quite a while. And there's no more like Shohei Ohtani. So that ties into the American League MVP and the Cy Young. But I just can't identify the person that I want to be on to start the season. I know there's a lot of steam out there and his numbers come down on Cole Reagans for Kansas City. I missed what would have been the best number on him. So I'm not going to force a bet on him. I also, I know that nobody will agree with this, but I think that there's a chance in my life. I kind of look at Cy Young Awards as the MVP in the NFL. I'm always going to bet at least one running back to win the MVP in the NFL, because I do think, like, in my lifetime, we'll see another running back win. And so the trick is trying to identify that running back that's 200 or 500 or one that can have a breakout year or a career year and be in the mix and potentially win. I was on McCaffrey this year. I was on Jonathan Taylor the year that he broke out. He was in the MVP mix. I was on Derrick Henry. So I've been on those guys. They just haven't won yet. I'm also like, I like to get in on relievers, right? Just in case they have that career year and they save 50 plus games and they have a sub one ERA and they strike out a zillion guys. I was on Bautista for the Orioles last year to begin the season at 750 or 1,000-1. He had a case until he got hurt. Now I know that Duran for the Twins is hurt to begin the year, but I bet him at 500-1. And I also bet Josh Hader at 500-1, thinking the Astros can win, you know, just 100 games this year. And he did start, was it last year or the year before, where he basically pitched the entire first half without allowing a single run. Like, I think a reliever is going to win. It's been 20 years, but can they win again before I'm dead? I'm willing to say yes. Those are not major bets, obviously, but I think a reliever can be in the mix. I also took a little bit on Munoz for the Mariners. Love his stuff. I think they're going to be really, really good. His number was like 500-1, or maybe a little bit higher than that. So that's who I'm treading lightly in the signing market so far. But I will give you one to look out for. You want a deep shot?
Sure.
It's to lead the league in stolen bases. Now, not every book has this player available. However, if you go around like and look at Fangraphs on the projections, one of the projections at Fangraphs, I noticed this back in February after the Super Bowl, they had this kid stealing 46 bags, like third overall. I'm like, who the hell is he? So I started to do a little bit of digging and I paid attention during spring training. His name is Victor Scott for the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals announced the other day that he was not going to start the team with the big club. However, they already had major injuries in the outfield, including center field. Nupar injured to begin the year. Edmund injured to begin the year. So yesterday, this is after now, keep in mind, that they announced Victor Scott was not going to start the team. And mind you, people around the team who cover the team were writing stories about Victor Scott, basically explaining and almost begging the team that he has to start the year in center field for the Cardinals because of the injuries. And he's so good in center field. Like, he's going to be a gold glove candidate, but he's got an 80 out of 80 speed, what people are calling him. He stole 94 bases last year, combined in the minor leagues. Then on Monday, Jordan Walker and Dylan, I don't know if you saw the play, Dylan Carlson collided in the outfield. Carlson had to leave the game with the trainer. Katie Wu, who covers the team, tweeted out that they were waiting on clarity of Carlson, who suffered a left shoulder injury in a collision with Walker. If Carlson misses time, Michael Ciani would be the only remaining player currently on the projected roster who can play center field. Like, this is a deep shot. I get it. I found 120-1 on him and 75-1 on him to lead the league in stolen bases. If you want it, like, if you want to start the year with a guy who might not even be on the team, but if he does, I think he has a chance to be so impactful and so fast, and it will remind Cardinals fans of like the mid-80s with Vince Coleman and Ozzie Smith and company when they just stole a zillion bases, and he's going to be a fan favorite. See what you can find as a huge number on Victor Scott to lead the league in stolen bases. Might not be worth a fly. It might not be worth a bad bet, I should say.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm looking at DraftKings. I don't even see him at DraftKings. They only go to 101. And you make such a good point about the market's available. My God, I didn't even realize this. Last team to lose, most wins in April, most wins in the division by April. I mean, I remember it wasn't that long ago. You just bet on the season wins, the side, the total. Now it's just, man, it's like you said, you could be here all day looking at this stuff.
Crazy. Really is.
What do your spidey senses tell you about Ohtani? How does this play out? What actually happened? Where are you at with this whole thing?
I kind of believe him.
Interesting.
You know, I think it's possible that a guy who was worth that much money, really, you know, again, foreign country to him. I don't know how many friends the guy has. Somehow, some way, the guy was able to like get a hold of one of his accounts. $4.5 million to Ohtani is like nothing compared to somebody who has, you know, $10,000-$20,000 in the bank. It's like a $100 bill. I mean, put it this way, the guy deferred. He got paid what, $600-700 million from the Dodgers and said, I'm going to defer it till the end of the contract because I make so much money off my endorsements. Guys can go rogue. Guys can take advantages of celebrities and, you know, basically borderline athlete, billionaire athletes or rock stars or whatever. And they don't know about it. I think it was maybe a guy who just went rogue. And I don't know, maybe because I like Ohtani so much as a player and what he's capable of doing. Maybe I kind of want to believe it, but I also do think that I'll lean that way. I don't want to be one of the people here who is like, he's guilty. Lock him up, throw away the key. Like the court of public opinion is going to be like that. I don't want to completely overreact.
Yeah, it's interesting. Even if like worst case scenario, and I shouldn't say worst case scenario, but let's just say you found out, hey, he was placing the bets. Like, it's tough because he didn't grow up in America. He doesn't really speak the language. Who knows how much of the language he understands? And it's not like it's clear, like, hey, betting's 100% illegal. Like, betting's legal. So, I mean, it's easy for us to be like, oh, how could you not know better? But if he didn't grow up here, it could be confusing. So I'm fascinated to see how it plays out. So you think he'll be fine? This won't play out where, hey, he's suspended and misses any time?
That I don't know, but yeah. I would lean towards taking his side in this whole story as we speak.
Yeah. Any other futures, win totals, anything like that? I mean, they've made it with this sport with the extra rounds of playoffs where it's just impossible to sit here in March and try to figure out who's going to be playing in October. I mean, we know the Dodgers, the Braves are the best teams. I mean, go through some of it, but are you more inclined to just take a stab at a long shot with the randomness of the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I would. But also, like, you know, books keep this stuff up all year long. And they keep up more and more markets all year long now. So I understand that people don't want to lock up their money for 6 months on a win total or division bet, or even keep this in mind, even longer for the awards. Like, I bet Freddie Peralta probably early February. So what is that now? I have to wait 9 months until they announce the Cy Young? I mean, think about
it. They announce it so late, too.
I think they do it the week before Thanksgiving. That's absurd.
It's ridiculous.
So if you want to, like last year, it appeared as if the Rangers were going to be really good. And this was even after DeGrom got injured. And like, okay, their offense is absolutely legit. They're loaded from top to bottom in that lineup. And they have other really good starting pitchers. And, oh, by the way, the Bruce Bochy factor could be potentially real. And I was loading up on the Rangers to win. Now happened to come in. So it's easy for me to say now, because I've certainly done this with teams before, never cashed, but last year it did. So that was a good one. But I don't think that they were the preseason pick by a ton of people to win the World Series or the American League. They were popular because they picked up DeGrom and they were going to be good offensively. But if you let it breathe for a little while, you can kind of maybe make the same observation as well. like some team in the American League. The team might be the Guardians. What if their starting pitching stays healthy? I think there's a chance that rotation can be really, really good. And if their offense can just take it up some a half a notch or a full notch, they can be pretty dangerous, I think, in a weak division. Same note, maybe the Twins. If their starting rotation can be okay, despite losing, you know, a guy like Sonny Gray. The West is going to be completely loaded, but that team out of that division this year that could surprise would be the Mariners. There's a lot to like with that team. But again, if you don't want to get involved right now, you can maybe give it a month or two to breathe too before you get down.
Yeah, I don't think they do you like any great favors with these numbers. Like we were talking about Cy Young, like a lot of people like Cole Reagans. He's 9-1, like 9-1 for
that.
Cole Reagans. It's crazy. And again, the Mariners, yeah, I could see a path where they have a really good year and get in the playoffs, that pitching and everything, like 19-1. I mean, 19-1 is just, it's okay. I mean, if you cash 19-1, it's a hell of a ticket. It's just not cutting in line to bet the Mariners at 19-1.
No, and in fact, here's what, I mean, you can maybe hope that they start off, right. Maybe they have an injury. You don't hope for that, but maybe they do. Well, you know, most teams do at some point. And then the guy comes back 2 months down the road and they're not, you know, playing their best ball. And 19-1 right now turns into 35-1 in 6 weeks. And okay, baseball's a long season. Can they regroup and get it together? They went on a huge winning streak last year. Of course that could happen.
Yep, no doubt. Do you have a favorite Sweet 16 bet?
Probably Duke, late 18 cents today, taking the 4.5 against Houston. I know it's going to be in Dallas, so in theory, it's somewhat of a home court edge there for the Cougars. And I think the Cougars are really, really good, but we can all agree that they're not deep. They've lost a lot of guys so far. I think Duke is also like really good. Now that their KenPom numbers, they're super strong. They fit the criteria of a team that can win the whole thing, as does Houston. But you know how Houston likes to play, Will. It's very physical. They like to dictate what's going to happen in the game. And that was a very physical game against Texas A&M in the round of 32. If A&M hit their free throws, and they're not a good free throw shooting team, but if they did, they would have won the game. If Houston gets into foul trouble against Duke, that will be a major issue. Duke's not awesome at shooting free throws. I think they're only, 72% as a team for the entire year. But they got multiple guys on offense, like Texas A&M does. But Duke has multiple guys that can kill you. They got Filipowski down low. I don't think they would shoot that poorly overall as a team from the free throw line. And I think Duke is good enough to, you know, make the Final Four and maybe even beyond that, be playing on that Monday night for the whole thing. So give me 4.5 points and a neutral against Houston. Okay, I'm good at that.
UConn wins it all, or you have somebody else? If I gave you right now UConn versus the field, who would you take?
Oh, man, they're so good. However, I do remember when that prop has been available for the 2015 Kentucky team.
Right.
They were minus odds on to win the tournament, like before the tournament started. And before the Final Four, forget it. I mean, it was just like Kentucky versus the field. They didn't even make the national title game. Now, there's a major difference. That's John Calipari compared to Dan Hurley. And the difference there at coach is night and day. Hurley is, you know, absolutely legit. Calipari is one of the worst I've ever seen. Man, they're so, but can they have an off night? Yeah, of course they can. I'd probably lean field, but I wouldn't love it.
Right. Yeah, that's what I worry about too. Especially they won it last year. And I mean, you just, it's not the nature of this tournament to just mow through everybody every single night. I mean, you just,
no, not at all.
They might be so good where they have an off night, and you know what? They could still win the game depending on who they play in the draw that looked really tough. A week ago, 10 days ago, it's all of a sudden, you know what? You're 11-point favorite to be in the Elite Eight, where you got pretty much a home game, you know, in Boston against either Illinois or Iowa State, which will be a good game, but the path is not as bad as it looked a week ago.
Yep, totally agree.
Last one before we get you out of here, NFL draft. Any sense to where this goes after Caleb Williams? You think it'll be, are we looking at four quarterbacks in the top six? What are your thoughts here on the draft?
From what I'm hearing today, four quarterbacks in the top four. In any particular order, could be McCarthy as high as number two if you want to buy into, you know, Twitter speculation and what some of the rumor mill was throwing around yesterday. That was NFL Network, by the way, where they kept hearing McCarthy going number two overall. So I don't know. I can't. Four quarterbacks in the top four is just absurd if these teams do it. Because I live and breathe. I've been around when I was younger, when I was 15 years old, I thought every quarterback coming out of college was going to be awesome. Then you eventually learn that's not exactly the case. So how many of these quarterbacks will turn out to be very good franchise quarterbacks in the NFL? One.
Right.
Maybe two. That's it. I'm not going to go any, you know, anything beyond that. So would I do it? Absolutely not. Will these teams? Maybe. And this is the, you know, one of the events that you cannot bet with. You just have to bet on the information, what you hear. That's it. I mean, so I took a couple of flyers. Or if I could get down on this, I would be betting the Chargers to take a wide receiver, or maybe even Marvin Harrison to go fifth overall. I don't have access to that in Nevada, unfortunately. That would be one look. And I did bet the Jets to take a tight end at 5-1. You can still find that around 2-1 at last look. I think there's a pretty good chance that they could take Brock Bowers 10th overall.
Interesting. Yeah, it's tough with betting the draft because, you know, you bet the information. We're still a month or so away, around there, 3 weeks away. And then you're betting information. Then something changes and you have a bad bet. Like I thought Jets to draft an offensive lineman a couple weeks ago was -175. Oh, great bet. Sure. They signed a bunch of offensive linemen. Now I don't know that they're taking one. So you can twist yourself in a pretzel too if you're just constantly chasing the information. Plus, there's not as much out there. I mean, the books have just been less willing to post this stuff.
Yep, and I think that's probably going to be the case moving forward too. This year is going to be, I think, what it looks like moving forward. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just, I think books have posted stuff around the combine before.
Right.
And you had basically 2 months to get down on it. Now it's not the case.
Yeah, I wonder, I think the Paolo Banchero NBA draft was a big wake-up call where, hey, maybe the bettors have more information than us as the books, and we're going to take our ball and go home a little bit.
Yep. Although, I think books did quite well last year during the NFL draft, right?
Absolutely, because which is sort of backfired on some of these guys. You sure you don't want to book this? Because all right,
I know
betters got the best of you once. Doesn't mean it's always going to happen.
Sure.
All right, Mitch, you're the best, man. Appreciate you coming on. Where can everyone find you?
Thanks, Will. I appreciate it. X, I guess, is the most where I'm active, at Mitch Moss Radio on X. Do the show every day with Paulie. Follow the money on VSIN as well from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern.
All right, man. Appreciate you coming on. Hopefully we'll catch up here down the road.
Thanks, pal. Good talking to you again.
All right, that'll do it. Thank you to Mitch Moss. Appreciate you guys listening. We're back Friday. We'll have Stucky on to talk about the Friday games, the NCAA tournament, touch on the first couple days of baseball. So see you guys then. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. Talk to you Friday.